Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, March 14th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, a CeFi space chatting with Neptune Finance. Let's take a listen.
I think we've got everybody. Why don't we kind of, if you want to introduce yourselves a little bit, tell us a little bit about what Neptune Finance is, and then we can get into the details.
Sure. I'll just keep it brief. My name's Keegan. I'm the project lead for Neptune Finance. I'll let Matt introduce himself before I give a description.
Yeah, I'm Matt. I'm the lead off-chain software developer. So anything that's not a smart contract or finance, I'm the guy.
Cool. My name's Steffi. We host these spaces pretty often, and mainly just a kind of a community service, kind of going into the details of some of the different DeFi protocols emerging. I have no specific affiliation with Neptune. The guys just approached me to kind of discuss possible opportunities with them as far as like their future developments and, you know, roadmap, maybe, and go over what their project does and how it might benefit everybody. Obviously, a lot of our discussions tend to gravitate around different sort of DeFi strategies that benefit everybody. So I think we'll mainly talk about the project from a user standpoint primarily. If there are like tokens or tokenomics involved with the project, we could do that afterwards, I suppose. Go ahead and maybe introduce what the Neptune Finance is doing for us on Terra.
Yeah, sure thing. We can definitely try and keep this kind of user focused because, you know, that's what people are interested in, how they're going to use it. So a quick description of what Neptune Finance is we are a automated leveraged yield farming platform built on the Terra blockchain. And how we integrate with Terra is we use Anchor's backend for borrowing UST stablecoins and deploying those in investments for users. So all the asset types that we work with are the assets that are listed or have been whitelisted on the Anchor protocol. So it was pretty exciting today seeing the proposal go up for Abex on Anchor. The two other collateral types we'll be using is Luna and Ethereum, or their staking derivatives, so the bonded assets. But from a user's perspective, what Neptune Finance is and how they can use it is automated leveraged investment. So you can come to the Neptune Finance platform, choose a particular investment strategy that you want to leverage some of your assets into, and we automate everything there. So we're a one-button solution for getting into leveraged investment. So some examples of that is, in comparison with other leveraged finance protocols. A lot of them kind of offer leveraged into yield farming. So mostly, you know, just leveraging into LPs or over leveraging into an LP. We are being a lot more adaptable and expansive from that. So you can come to the Neptune platform and have a variety of different ways that you can yield farm using your Luna primarily. So we're offering leverage investments into LPs, but also into platforms like Arbitrage and DEX offerings and donation giving and stablecoin strategies like stablecoin LPs and lending platforms. All these different types of things that you can do with your Luna and different types of way you can leverage it.
So what kinds of collateral would you be primarily accepting? Is this similar to how Anchor works, or is it different in some ways?
Yeah, we'll be using all, like in the beginning, we'll be using all the whitelisted collateral that Anchor uses. So right now that's BLUNA, BETH, and hopefully very soon SAVEX as well.
And is it similar where the yield from the proof of stake collateral goes to Neptune, and then we borrow off those assets similar to Anchor? Is that mechanism different?
So the mechanism we employ through our smart contract is very similar to the way that people are using leverage through Anchor right now. So leveraged investment, is doing it manually, is very complicated and tricky. So for an example, how you would do it manually, if you were using the Anchor protocol as a standard user, you would take your BLUNA to Anchor. You would use it as collateral, and then you'd take out a loan. And maybe your loan's only about half the value of your collateral. You got to find a safe point so you don't get liquidated, which means you're not taking out the greatest loan that you can. But from there, you now got to pick an investment strategy. So maybe you take those stable coins and you lend them out somewhere to earn interest, or maybe you swap them into tokens and you put them into an LP so you can earn farming reward somewhere. Or maybe you use that UST in a DEX lockup like Pylon or something like that to earn tokens. So doing that manually gives you more access with your money. You get to take out a loan against your collateral, but it's a 24/7 job. You're constantly checking the price of Luna. You're making sure you're not getting liquidated. Yeah, it's a bad experience, right?
It's just awful, especially into thinking that when it starts moving, when your volatility kicks in and you have to start getting back some of your money to pay your debt position, it's just like you just want to kill your ledger because you're like 200 clicks in and you're like, no, can we please have something simpler than that? And that's not, I think that's what we're trying to do here.
So let's kind of start with maybe Bonded Luna. So I provide that as collateral. What kind of LTV do I basically get? How does it automate the LTV management? And then, like, what do I get in return? Is it UST? Is it like you click on a specific leveraged farm that's already offered on the platform? Like, what do you do next?
So in our platform, we are going to have a variety of vaults. And each vault will have a unique investment strategy. And when we launch, the first strategy we will employ is being able to leverage your BLUNA, take out a UST loan, and putting that loan directly into Anchor's Earn. So you're just putting your stable coins into Earn and earning that 19.5%. Then what we do with the profits from the investment is we automatically swap those and provide that back into the original asset that you provided. So if you put BLUNA in, then you get more BLUNA. So we auto compound the tokens that you put in, because those are the tokens that you want the most. Like, the biggest bags that everyone holding are usually the layer one tokens, you know, Ethereum and Luna. So by default, all of our vaults auto compound back into what you give.
So that's like our first option. And actually, I'm interested in that because I specifically want to be able to do that personally. So that's kind of cool. Because sometimes I'll have an Anchor loan on Anchor and or a BLUNA provided as collateral, but I want to use that BLUNA in some liquid way if I don't need that much collateral there. And like what I'd been doing up until now is I'd, you know, park it on Nexus or something, earn some yield that way, using their vault, which I think is similar to what you're doing, I guess, in that respect, in their version one. And then but I'd like to be able to kind of auto compound that back to maybe more Bonded Luna, particularly if I can get that arb rate, you know, where you can get it on Astroport and it buys it cheaper. as opposed to any other type of way to acquire that bonded Luna. So I guess the first step would be you're producing is kind of like that auto, that take the bonded Luna, it automatically borrows off of it, it automatically manages LTV in the background, and then it buys you more bonded Luna, correct? Like that's the simplest form of like contract that you can enter into, basically.
Yeah, that's the most standard explanation of how it works. And yeah, that's basically the automated utility that we're offering, because doing that whole process manually is an absolute pain in the ass, and you constantly have to manage your LTV and you're not using your collateral effectively. Whereas with our automated systems, where in the back end, our hardware can run so crazy fast that we can take leverage up to a very high level and still play this game safely, so you can get far more of a yield out of your collateral through Anchor.
That's an important aspect there. If I may jump in.
Yeah, go ahead. What kind of LTV are you trying to hit in the background?
So I'm going to get to that by talking about a little bit by the importance of that backend, the importance of a well decentralized, rapid firing bot. That our bot architecture we're super happy with it, and it's performing extremely well in a very stable way, and it's really fast on the block. I mean, like, we rarely do not get the first bot on a block. So that means that we can push that LTV. We're still testing hardcore any kinds of scenarios, because we do a lot more than just rebalancing. We do what we call a smart balance, which takes into consideration many other factors than just the LTV. But to talk about numbers, which are not fixed right now, we can hover between the 70 and the 80, no problem. We just need to find the right spot. The off-chain software needs to be a decent star in there, because it's the one that's not perfectly fixed, right? Like it's software that runs somewhere. These bots are impacted by network activity, by LCD, by the nodes, by everything. While your smart contract code, once it's audited, it's there, it's fixed, and it does its magic. So putting some good effort and good time and development into that OCS, that off-chain software, has been paying off really well in terms of LTV.
So, and this is running what, on like Rust or Go, or? What's the backend code language?
We're running two code, one in Node, and another thing that I cannot say right now, but we'll get to that.
Got it. Okay. So I think I understand the first sort of concept. Now, once you have taken the borrow and then kind of gone on to Anchor, our yields coming in. So obviously the first thing that can be done is just buy more of the same thing, like bonded Luna. Are you going to have like series of vaults where you can say, like, you know, use your yield to redirect that to dollar cost average into like lots of other coins? Or what's the theory? Or is there like a drop down box that you can pick, you know, I want more Prism token or something, and then, you know, I can pick whatever my final destination is? Or how does that play out?
Yeah, to give you a quick description of how more of our advanced vault strategies will work. So one of the best things about what we've built in our smart contracts is the investment portion is extremely adaptable, which means we really get to pick and choose how we take leverage investment and move it around the Terra ecosystem. So one of the cool advantages to our platform is because we integrate heavily with Anchor, there's currently about $8 billion of UST sitting in Anchor that's not being lent out currently. And that's, you know, a bit under a third of the, or it's a bit under two thirds of the circulating supply of UST that's in Anchor right now. So we're really hoping that Neptune can really push this UST through the Terra ecosystem to make that money more efficient for everyone. So an example of how we are going to do that is through, we're going to be partnering with Apollo DAO, and some of the first vaults we will roll out outside of our first strategy is LP investment, so leverage LP investment. So the cool thing about working with Apollo is that they have already automated the auto compounding for these LPs. So we don't have to do the engineering. It's definitely beneficial for us to work with other protocols throughout Terra to partner with them to make all our systems more streamlined. So a good example of how we're going to work with Apollo is we're going to leverage into the M asset, the gold M asset, which is MIAU. So we're going to leverage into that LP. And by doing that, you get exposed to mirror rewards. And those get auto-compounded through Apollo, and then we auto-compound everything again through Neptune platform. And we've developed a strategy for getting into LPs to kind of consider volatility. And what I mean by that is when you work with leverage, especially at high LTV percentages, you're more frequently than you would manually doing rebalances where you have to manage the level of your investment against the level of debt that you own. So we've developed this strategy where when we take out a loan against collateral and we've invested into an LP, the whole investment doesn't go into the LP. About 80% of the investment does, and the remaining 20% actually gets turned into AUST. And that original 20% is there to deal with the volatility of the collateral type that we're working with. That means if you've used Luna to leverage into this gold LP strategy, there is a 20% buffer of UST that's available to be used to repay down the debt quickly so that we can manage the debt position against a collateral position. And this makes our systems more streamlined. It also helps us reduce losses due to slippage in trading fees that we would have to do through an LP. So this is just one example of how we're getting to LPs and how we can change our investments. But a lot of what we have created in our investment smart contracts is adaptability in our configuration. So there's a lot of different ways we can direct the investment and a lot of different ways we can configure the points at which we start rebalancing.
So, correct me if I'm wrong here, but so one of the things that people tend to do with their bonded Luna with Anchor is they tend to, we were talking about this morning, actually, about looping, where you, of course, you get some UST on the borrow, you get some bonded Luna, and then you re-provide that as collateral, get more UST, buy bonded Luna, and sort of have that kind of leveraged exposure to bonded Luna. Is something like that what's going to happen here, or is this simply taking the yield off bonded Luna and then directing that into a, you know, into either just buying more bonded Luna, or am I getting that wrong?
No, that's not exactly what we're doing. So there's a lot of systems that already do that, not particularly in Terra. It's definitely something we could build, but we would rather take the UST out of Anchor and deploy it in other spaces across the Terra ecosystem. So we're trying to be...
You're trying to be like the sort of gateway to that using your leveraged borrow power off your primary assets and then to deploy that onto other platforms, essentially.
Exactly. Like, we could keep the leverage inside of our own system and Anchor by doing those recursive swaps, but that's not really healthy to the Anchor DApp. And what we're trying to focus on is getting collateral value into Anchor and taking out high LTV loans to bring value to the Anchor's yield reserve and moving that money to the earn side for that stable 19.5%.
That is a very important aspect of Anchor and the whole Terra. We really want to be in Terra for a long time, and we believe in it, and we need Anchor to be strong. Everyone knows how important Anchor is into this. And just doing this back-end, front-end of Anchor, like leveraging a position, borrowing UST, putting it in earn, is not enough to make it live and make it shine. And distributing that liquidity among all the dApps out there and you know, like, building the community, building these relationships with other protocols is really where I think the ecosystem will get stronger and better.
Sure. So basically an example would be, the first example you gave would be to direct this yield to the Apollo DAO's auto compounders. What other kinds of theoretical things could be done or do you have on the roadmap besides that particular integration?
Yeah, we've already lined up a few different partnerships with Terra protocols. So some other examples of leverage investment you can get into, like with just Apollo alone, there's, you know, close to 35, maybe more different LPs you could get into. So that's, you know, at least 35 strategies we could deploy through the Neptune Finance application. But other strategies we're going to offer is stuff like delta neutral farming through leveraged investment, or DEX offering farming through platforms, say like Pylon Protocol, where you could leverage into farming new tokens that are being launched, or platforms that perform arbitrage, you could leverage into that to get gains through arbitrage incentives. And we're just, you know, we're getting to a point where we're freezing our code and we've already got a few strategies lined up, but we want to start expanding our network of partner protocols so we can, you know, really move money around in Terra and come up with unique strategies. And I think there's going to be a lot of community incentive and community communication, seeing what the people want and using their feedback to see how they want to leverage their B assets.
So the user experience here, do you envision the Apollo vaults being something that show up on the Neptune dApp, or do you envision like the Neptune infrastructure is involved with like a button on the actual Apollo DAO page itself? Like where does the user interact with your system exactly?
It could be done both ways. And that is something we're looking to build, is an API functionality for Neptune Finance. So you can come to the Neptune Finance platform and users will be displayed with a list of vaults. And on those vaults, you'll quickly be able to see how that strategy for that vault works. So it may label Apollo DAO, UST, Apollo token, LP farming. So that's a quick hint of how that strategy works. And then you can click on that vault and get a drop down of more information and exactly how that strategy works and the LTV targets and all this kind of information. So users will be displayed with a variety of vault strategies. And then from there, they get to choose how they distribute their assets into those vaults. So there are some risks inherent with particular leverage investments, because we're giving access to, you know, volatile assets, which could go down in value or they could go up in value, which would, you know, while using leverage, means huge profits. So it's, we're giving those options and it's up to the users to determine their own risk versus reward ratios.
But really, the way you're describing, if we're just directing yield, then in theory, they could be done in such a way that you're sort of net riskless, right? In terms of, so like say, for example, I've got my yields being directed to an Apollo DAO LP of some kind, you know, like an auto compounder. Obviously, if the coin value of the items in that auto compounder go down, obviously, you know, the value of my new investment has gone down. But technically, it's trying to protect you in terms of loss from your original bonded Luna that you put in, right? So it's sort of like you should come out net positive, if I'm understanding this correctly, or is there something I'm missing here?
There are circumstances where the asset that you're invested into is volatile and it does go down, but we're deploying a sort of smart balance algorithm into our vault rebalancing code for volatile investments. So, and this all depends on the configuration for each new investment strategy. So depending on the configuration for particular investments, say you're, you know, leverage into an Apollo DAO LP, if that LP starts going down in value, we could actually be swapping part of your collateral value into the investment to kind of double down on that investment, which means as that investment comes back up in value, because you've doubled down using your collateral, as it's gone back up, you're now capturing much higher profits and those are getting swapped back into your collateral. And, you know, that changes depending on the configuration and the LTV surrounding those. But we could also set the LTV thresholds so that you can let the investment go all the way to zero before your collateral is at risk.
Okay. You guys are probably familiar with like the Nexus vault, where you stick B Luna in there and it like does a similar thing where, you know, it parks it on as collateral on Anchor Earn, it borrows off of it, and then it basically pays you in PSI token in that that example. How is what you're doing, I guess, differentiated from what's happening there? Do you know which system I'm talking about?
Yeah, we do know the system you're talking about.
Because I'm trying to figure out, like, in my mind, like, what the difference here is. And because what you're describing sounds different, I just can't figure out. I'm not sure I wrapped my head around it entirely.
Yeah, it's a tricky concept to explain, and we will be launching a bunch of educational material to give better descriptions how each strategy works. But in regards to the Nexus Vault, from a high-level perspective, it's very similar. And this is especially prevalent when talking about stablecoin investment strategies. So what the Nexus Vault is doing is taking out a loan and putting that into Anchor's Earn. And you're earning that 19.5% plus the Ankh tokens, which are distributed to the debt. And that's basically a lossless investment. Your stablecoin is always there to be able to repay your debt. And there's actually a lot of avenues in Terra right now to make lossless investments so that your investment is always available. And in that scenario, because the investment's always there to pay down your debt, there are no losses to your collateral. So that's a very simple implementation. But we would rather offer low-risk investments that are outside of using Anchor's Earn. Because by putting money just straight back into Anchor's Earn, you're kind of being a little parasitic to the platform, and you're not helping that 19.5% that much. So the way that we differ is because our vaults are a lot more adaptable to different investment strategies, we have far more opportunities for ways that users can leverage into particular assets.
So the difference here would be you have to be cognizant of what you're buying, essentially, because it's not fully lossless then from that perspective. So ideally, you would want to exert this leverage during times when the coin or the LP that you're interested in is, like, you know, I guess you assume that it's down in value, so that's a good time to enter. Would that be the right way to think about this, or am I oversimplifying it?
No, that's correct. But there's also a lot of opportunity in yield farming yields, where, like, if you consider the Ankh UST pair, if you were bullish on that pair, it would be a good time to leverage into it. But at the same time, if you auto compound the rewards that are coming off that Ankh LP, you're looking at, by using leverage and depending on the LTV and everything, you're looking at a 70% APY for investing in Luna through the Neptune Finance platform. And that's a ridiculously high return for an asset that's being auto compounded.
Got it. I think, okay, now I understand what you're saying. Okay, got it. So it is substantially different from the Nexus situation then. I'm just so used to that workflow that I just wasn't thinking clearly about what you're saying. And I think it's important to sort of kind of clarify this, only because, like, I think most of the people here have played with that Nexus system. This does sound like it offers a substantially broader yield opportunity. Like, for example, like, what I might use this for, if such a thing was feasible, for example, the Prism token and its relatively high yield. That's a coin that I wouldn't mind having more of if it goes down, because my intuition is that it only has so much downside in it. So I don't mind getting more of it if it's on the way down, even if it means a leverage exposure to get more. So would that be a possible future in theory then?
Yeah, totally. So we're going to be reaching out to the community to see what kind of leverage investments they want. And that's a perfect example. If you're bullish on the Prism token, you can leverage your Luna to collect a bag of those and collect the yield from it as well. And as that Prism token goes up in value, we capture that profit and swap it back into B Luna. So you're capturing and holding all your profits in your preferred token.
Because, like, one of my general strategies when I buy stuff is I like to dynamic dollar cost average as opposed to straight DCA, such that I'm more comfortable escalating the magnitude of my borrow or the magnitude of my buys, whichever one I'm doing, at the time, the lower the price of something goes. So like the PLUNA token might be a perfect example of this, right? Like right now, I think it's like around $18 and previously is like around 12. And if its value were to drop, you know, closer to 12, I'd want to have increasing amounts of capital deployed, not just the same amount of capital, you know, like a normal DCA, but a exponentially rising buy would be my sort of theoretical way that I would go about that, and how I usually buy everything. So yeah, some form of fashion where it automates that and utilizes the leverage accordingly would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, that can totally be done. So in that example, if you're leveraged into Prism at say like a 70% LTV, if Prism starts going down in value, we can set the parameters so that your BLUNA collateral is swapped into Prism so that your DCA ain't on its way down. And then as Prism starts to go back up, that's swapped back into BLUNA to capture your profits. So
in that instance, it's acting a little bit like essentially like a grid bot or an infinity bot at that point, a little bit.
Yeah,
if you're selling it on the way up, you're basically acquiring more BLUNA on the way up, right? Pretty much.
Yeah. So your capital is always going to be measured in terms about the asset that you provided. So that can be BLUNA or BETH or SAVX.
Got it. Okay. Cool. I think I've got my head wrapped around this. Sounds like a lot of interesting possibilities. And then the vaults themselves, though, like the strategies involved, you mentioned the community is going to be able to like decide on certain types of, I guess, LPs that are available to exert this strategy on. But the mechanics of the individual vaults are they called vaults? But yeah. The mechanics of each one, is that something that's going to be kind of generally designed by the community? And how does that, is it by governance proposal? Like, how does that work?
We won't be implementing governance from token launch. That's something we definitely want to dive into more deeply. Probably not going to talk about much now, but we will be reaching out to the community to see what they want to invest into and what they're most bullish on, because obviously we want to draw those users in. We want to automate that process for them to make it more efficient. So, you know, through our community channels, including Discord and Telegram and Twitter, which, you know, everyone can jump into now, we can start discussing what kind of investments they want to be doing. And then it'll be on the team and the community working together to find out the parameters for those particular investment strategies. So we can measure how much we want to leverage into that asset and when we start buying, when that asset goes down in value, and when we start selling again. All those kind of
And I think that these talks and these ideas of getting some community help on this speaks about a very important decision and time that has been spent for us is into the software architecture that we've built. There was a lot of time and effort into making a blueprint that's easy to deploy. So building a new strategy, we're not stuck in time for months trying to deploy a new one. That's why it's important for us to give us this ability to be this like vaults printing machine to be able to create new stuff quickly and respond to needs as they come by. And that's just a core feature of the platform.
So you're intending to have lots and lots of different sort of vault opportunities. And then are you thinking that like, so structurally imagine, okay, like let's say there's a certain sort of buying strategy, like what I described, right? Like essentially what would be considered like an exponential or geometric grid bot is sort of what I've described more or less. So once that sort of strategy is in play, can you then like apply it to any asset? Meaning there's like a drop down box of, oh, I don't know, Prism token, Mars token or whatever. Or do you foresee each and every one of those will need its own little like vault box or page or something on your dApp? I'm just curious like what the user experience is going to feel like as each of these new strategies comes about. Are they sort of like modular, or do you just literally have to have thousands of strategies all over the place because they start becoming, you know, you just end up with a lot of permutations?
I think that that's an easier task to resolve than expected. It's just about UI, right? It's just about building a UI that makes sense. As there are not too many collaterals at the base, it might just be a drop down. As there are more, you still want to allow the user to see all of the vaults that they've invested in. A user could invest both in via Biluna and let's say BETH for the same investment strategy. So it's not a big problem for us. It's just about building the UI that's going to be user friendly and it's going to be easy to navigate, but to start up with, I think it's just going to be simple drop downs.
Yeah, I mean, you'd ultimately want to see some form of dashboard of all of the stuff you have going on, because obviously you don't want to just be like, I don't want to come to Neptune and only do one thing. I might have like a dozen things I want to do, and I want to be able to know where, like, what the status of those, what the status of those deployments actually are doing. In reference to each other or just in reference to whenever I started it and things like that. Like, you know, what is the total value of that position?
Absolutely.
And maybe even like some concept of the rate of return at some point would be kind of a cool thing. Although calculations for that sort of thing get fairly complicated. At least be able to see when you started that position and, what it's valued at today. Would be a nice kind of sort of feature for me, is kind of how I look at it. We grab some folks for some questions, I guess.
Actually, just to touch on your point before we jump into questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
What you described is something I hold to heart, in that DeFi has a lot of accessibility to really cool money-making strategies, but a lot of these platforms are kind of poor in relaying that information. And anyone can build out a dashboard, but it takes a certain amount of skill to be able to read the blockchain, API calls, and all this other kind of stuff. So we are putting a bit of focus around being able to build tools inside of our dashboard and use this personal dashboard to measure your investments more correctly, so you don't have to manually track this on a spreadsheet. And if you actually go to our website, which is nept.finance, you can see a quick screenshot of the first iteration of one of our vaults, and it'll actually show you your original deposits, how much profit you've made to date, and your net assets available for withdrawal. So even this simple implementation shows you, you know, where your investment started and how much money you've made since then.
Yeah, excellent. Sounds good. Clearly, like, the biggest things needed for people to feel comfortable posting their money somewhere really is, people want to know, like, approximately what kind of, you know, risk is involved. They want to know, I think it's not obvious to everybody when it comes to some of these strategies, what kind of time horizon is involved. And it's not always obvious just what kind of strategy to take to buy things. The simpler you make that for people, and the more successful they are, the more likely they'll continue to, you know, deploy more funds in those projects.
Definitely. We really want to educate around the strategies that we provide. So in the beginning, we're going to offer a lot of different ways you can invest and leverage your Luna, but we don't want people to ape into something that they're not familiar with and then potentially have an investment go down. So we're going to be a little choosy with what investments we offer at the beginning, so that they're not potentially highly volatile. But from there, we want to make sure the education and the UI graphics are in place so people can understand better.
Cool. Yeah, very nice. Let me see if Dr. Cisco here was kind of here early. Let me see if he's got a question.
Cisco is actually one of our guys. I should have let him in earlier.
Okay. I'm sorry. I would have added him on earlier. How are you doing, Cisco?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, you want anything to add to the discussion?
Yeah, just a quick introduction. I'm the smart contract lead developer. And yeah, I was itching to jump in on some points. I'd like to say that it's one of our top priorities to simplify the UI for the user's convenience. And, you know, to make it really simple for people to, it can be overwhelming when there's a lot of different vaults around and people don't really know where to go into. So we really want to be able to simplify that for users. But at the same time, like, we don't want to dumb it down too much. So we want to we want users to be able to see as much information as they want to see, and you know, easy ways to find that information so that they know where they're putting their money, what's being done with their money, and how much money they're making back, if that makes sense.
Now, do you foresee, one question I had on this was, do you foresee that the user experience is going to involve like fixed vaults that, you know, without a lot of adjustment, or do you, are you going to have a system where it's like there's sliders, you know, in terms of like how much risk someone wants to take, or some sort of, you know, like, let's say, for example, it's a geometric strategy. Is it a, like a 1% geometric or a 2%? Are you going to have like, so do you envision more of fixed systems where you just simply hit deposit and you're done, or more like things where you're setting a lot of things before you start your contract?
It's in the beginning, it's definitely going to be more of a fixed experience. And I think Cisco can talk to this, because once you start adding sliders to different metrics in vault strategies, that means you're deploying new, unique smart contracts. And because of all of our smart contracts have to have automation, that means we have to boot up more back-end systems for each unique implementation of a particular strategy. So if there is a slider and that ranges from 0 to 100, that means that's 100 different smart contracts we have to deploy for one vault, which really complicates the back-end very quickly.
Understood. Yeah, no question. I was just wondering, because, normally, you know, this is why we call these things vaults as opposed to like adjustable bots, because when you're on a centralized exchange and you run a bot, there's all sorts of, you know, little technical things you can do with them, but they're literally running an instance for every single person. And then the fees tend to run high, and the number of transactions tend to be high because every single user has their own transaction set and their own code running, essentially. Whereas in a vault situation, you're sort of entering into a vault with everyone else's money, and the orders are kind of going through together and batched, right? So you're not usually having as much transaction fees and such.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the whole point of a vault, is to basically put all everyone's money together to leverage the, you know, like there's one rebalancing that rebalances everyone's stuff at the same time.
Yeah, it's far more efficient at scale.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of an efficiency and scale issue. Do you foresee, well, I had a question here that, I can't remember what it was now. Let me think. Dang it, it'll come to me. But okay, well, yeah, any other like points, comments about, when do you believe like you're going to release your first system to be usable?
We're currently closing into like the end of our phase one, which includes, you know, website launch, our airdrop calculator, which is available on the website, as well as our light paper, which will be coming out soon. But at the end of phase one is also our code freeze. So we're pretty close to being in audit, and it won't be long after audit that, you know, our DF will be open up for private beta access. So, you know, it's always, you put yourself on the spot by promising dates in DeFi, but we're not far off from having our first vault strategy available on the net.
And is your system going to have a like a token, you know, for investing, or like how does Neptune Finance make money? It's on the background, you know, transaction fees, or like what's going on with that?
Yeah, every vault that we open up will be collecting fees from profits, and fees will actually be a measure of the total locked value inside each vault, plus a moving average filter of the profits generated by that vault. And we've done it that way so that when a vault is not profitable, we're not taking more money out of it than we should, so more of that money goes back to the original investors. But when vaults are profitable, then we are collecting higher profits. And all these profits are then split towards the Neptune token holders. So that will go towards token yields. That's the native token for the platform. We will also be introducing a war chest into our platform. And that war chest will be a holding of assets related to the Neptune Finance platform and the protocols that we partner with. And all of those assets will be yield generating assets. So part of the fees goes towards the war chest and building that up. And then the war chest itself generates a yield, shares that back to the Neptune stakers and back to itself to grow it exponentially as well. So users can share in the profits of the Neptune platform and its growth by getting into the native token.
How is the initial token going to be launched? Like, are you guys going to have, are you building first a pool of money to do protocol-owned liquidity for that? Or how do you envision that the token launch happening?
So right now we're looking at a liquidity bootstrapped pool, so LBP, said that wrong. And we find this is a fantastic way to get a large amount of tokens into the circulating supply and generate a lot of protocol-owned liquidity in that token for to go to the protocol into the war chest. The LPB, we're looking to get a significant amount of our tokens into supply very early in the stages of the token's launch. We're doing this to target a far lower than you typically see inflation rate for the token. So one of the bad things you see for farming tokens is you get these crazy high APYs because you're being paid out in a farming token, but holding onto that token long-term, even short-term, it's losing a lot of value because new tokens are being pumped into the circulating supply. It's just inflating at a crazy rate. So we're hoping to use this liquidity bootstrapped pool to get a large amount of tokens into the circulating supply early and thus have a reduced inflation rate.
Understood. Is there an example on Terra of a project with maybe something similar that has been done?
It was actually the way that White Whale launched their token.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, it's long term, it's kind of like hard to figure out. Over the first year, I would say it's really hard to figure out what price to buy these tokens at. And the frustrating part for users is generally, you get a pump effect of price and then it crashes and all the other drama involved. I did like the Apollo DAO farming in the sense that like you use the protocol, get rewards in the form of Apollo tokens. That was a pretty cool methodology too. Right now you don't have anything that you can do with your Apollo token yet. Not really at least, but ultimately those tokens will kind of get the value of the members of the DAO. Do you foresee something sort of like that happening, or like, so in each of your vaults, you're not emitting the Neptune token basically, right? So the token holder doesn't have to face inflation from the vaults themselves because it's not being used as a rewards token. Would that be accurate?
It will be used as an incentive token, so a rewards token, but it's not crucial to the success of the vaults, which is actually one cool aspect. So the vaults will run independent of a token being handed out on top of that. That means fundamentally.
So there's some there's token. You get some of your rewards back in the token, some back in the vault strategy.
All the profits that are generated by a vault strategy come back as auto compounded B assets or the collateral type that you provided. And then additionally on top of that, you will be getting the Neptune token. But we're not putting a large amount of tokens out as a reward token. It's just an additional incentive to use our vaults. Because if we put a large amount out there, then we're stuck with inflation again.
Okay. But I presume like another interesting thing is, since this is sort of your thing, it'd be nice to have a vault that creates like a low risk way to acquire your token as well. Cause it might as well, right? Cause you have a system for everybody else's token, might as well have a way to get yours as well in that same method.
Yeah. So there's a few ways we can do that, and we can just elect, instead of having your profits turned back into collateral types, you can choose to have them paid out in Neptune tokens. And we can apply that to a few different strategies. We really want to decide how we do it. We could also go down the route of doing some sort of lock drop for our token launch. But one of the promoted aspects of our protocol is that the collaterals that we use, that users invest, are liquid. One of the coolest things about BLUNA and being able to use that across Terra is you could sell it instantaneously if you had to. compared to having to stake and unstake and wait 3 weeks. So a lock drop is something we could do, but I think we would prefer to not have users' assets locked up for an X amount of time to get our reward tokens. We're looking for options outside of that.
Sure thing. Do you foresee the token itself having some, besides the fact that, of course, it earns the revenue from the system, do you foresee it having a benefit as far as utility on the system, like, you know, reduction in fees or some other kinds of like utility? Yeah. Or do you think that's just too complicated? Or how do you, what do you think?
Oh, no, we like complication. Our systems are definitely complicated. But one of the utilities we're giving to the token is a yield boost mechanic. And you've probably seen this in a few different forms. But what we're offering is the user's ability to, instead of staking it against the native staking contract and earning more Dantrudin tokens, you could stake it against one of your farming positions and earn more of the collateral type that you have staked. So if you've gone into a vault with B Luna, you could stake your Neptune tokens against that vault, and the yields that they would have generated are now used to buy back B Luna and add that to your vault position. So you've got this whole automated ecosystem of constantly compiling B Luna, which is constantly pushing leverage higher and earning even more for you. So that's the main utility of the token.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So in other words, you're going to have some time-based effect. Well, is it a time-based or a quantity-based effect on the token? Like, for example, the Prism token has that like amps effect, which is more of a time-based concept, whereas if you're constantly getting more Neptune tokens, just holding a larger quantity would get you the desired effect of kind of a booster effect. Like, which mechanism did you guys choose in that process?
It's definitely more of a quantity effect. Because again, we would like users to be able to keep their tokens and our tokens liquid. So they're not really caught up on, I'm only getting a good amount of money out of this if I keep it in there for 6 months or longer. So it's a quantity thing we're going for.
Got it. Yeah, Prism's a little bit different. The concept is to encourage staking, not necessarily to jump in and out of that. So it's, I think it's designed as such. So, but I do think it having a really strong reason to hold the token and wanting to own a substantial portion of the protocol's tokens proportionally to get the max effect seems like a good way to stimulate kind of people wanting to own the token, which I'd like to see. Cool.
Definitely. Especially because of our yield generating war chest mechanic. The more money that goes into that, and the faster it goes into that, the more yields that are generated towards the Neptune token. So not only are you relying on the success of the platform, you've got this, you know, large holding of assets which are working for your Neptune tokens as well.
Yeah, so pretty much as the LTV goes up and the machines keep churning in the background, the yield keeps going towards the So the yield goes to buying token and paying you, or is it like an inflationary token mechanism? Is it a, like, what's the mechanism there? Or is there some token being bought back by the protocol? Like, maybe describe that a little bit.
Yeah, so as yields are generated from vaults or the war chest, and depending where Neptune is staked, so if it's against the native staking contract or it's staked against farming vaults, then in the background, all the yields are split into the assets, which are dedicated to where Neptune is staked. So if it's in the native staking contract, you buy Nept off the market and you distribute it back to those users. If it's staked against a B Luna vault, you buy B Luna off the market and you give it to those Neptune users.
Cool. Any other details you guys wanted to cover? And or if anyone else wants to hop up for questions, there's a lot of smart people in the room. Feel free to hop on. We covered quite a few details. Hopefully people are able to digest all of this.
Yeah, there was a lot to go over. Yeah, open up to questions. Happy to talk about our backend systems as well, because we're really proud of those.
Yeah, and these are some of my kind of favorite utilities I've been waiting for to come onto Terra. And then, you know, as really low risk useful vaults emerge, you know, you want those things to show up on things like XDeFi and you know, other wallet experiences like on Outlet Finance. I was talking to Patrick about that, you know, where you could, you know, deploy these things into vaults without even realizing that that's what you're doing, especially if you're on particularly low risk strategies like DCA bots and things of that nature. You know, you could bring a lot of transactions into Terra, a lot of value to Luna ultimately, and, you know, really just grow things exponentially at that point.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want.
Something we want to do with like a Neptune API and partnering with protocols in Terra is you could go to a platform like White Whale and you want to get into the UST arbitrage. Well, in their platform, you may see a Neptune UI utility there where you get to use your collateral assets to get inside their vault. So we can simplify those things and put that UI into a wallet somewhere, these low risk strategies.
Yeah. And one other area, I don't know if you guys have thought about this clearly, is one thing that several people in this room have been talking about a lot is, okay, you know, Luna's at some price that you like, you don't want to sell it, and you want to be able to live off of some combination of yield and leverage strategies. You know, some of the vaults that I think would be very useful to create, just like, you know, in your sort of discussions and thinking, would be those type of scenarios where people can live off of their Luna at some point in the future. Would be really, really cool without having to lose their Luna exposure to begin with. So I'm not saying any one particular thing, just maybe some food for thought as far as like design roadmap, because a lot of people are talking about that. Because, you know, of course, Luna's price now is one thing. You know, if it's $1,000 later on, you know, and you're Luna rich or whatever, and you don't want to sell it, you want to be able to park it somewhere and live off of it, that would be ideal.
Oh, definitely. We've put a lot of thought and focus into that. We've got some V2 ideas that we're not going to talk about now, but some cool concepts of being able to do that.
Excellent. Someone was here for a question and then dropped off. I'm not sure. I think it was not sure where they went. I don't know if Lucky or Obi or any of the folks here had any specific questions. Do you want to jump on? Just kind of wave your hand or just ask it. We've covered quite a bit. Maybe we've already covered everyone's questions or they don't know what to think. I'm not sure which one. Let me, here's Kaylee here. Hey, Callie, or Kaylee, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. I just had a question around security. I think it's something that a lot of people undermine, but say you were to discover a vulnerability in regards to placing funds at risk, how would you preemptively protect the funds?
I think there's two concepts to talk about here, and one is about the security in our backend systems and how those are automated, and another about potentially losing funds to liquidations or any type of concepts like that. So I'll let Matt talk first about our backend security.
Oh boy, that's a big question. What do you want to know? but can you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, if you discover a vulnerability which places anybody's funds at risk, how would you protect the funds?
Well, If there's a problem somewhere, you want to let people know. You want to let people that are at the source of it. So you can't, you know, you have to play the white hat here and speak out to protocols that you could find vulnerabilities in their protocol and speak that out quickly before it goes public, and then like work in tandem. Like, we're not here to just like suck up the resources of the blockchain. We're here to help it. So obviously it's to try to fix, like, think of it as a bug bounty kind of atmosphere, try to help out. Does that answer a bit?
Yeah, it does. It does. Thank you.
To add, like, we the smart contracts themselves have some emergency ways to deal with things if necessary.
Yeah, can you talk about the reset?
Yeah, we both have automated system to protect our vaults and manual system. So like we're building like a whole software architecture on top of all the product to be able from any staff member to interact with the vaults in a multi-sig way. But also automated system where the off-chain software that is the one responsible for interacting and rebalancing and securing the assets that are in the vaults, those decentralized software, I say decentralized because I think it touches to the security aspect of all of this, is that if a bot goes down, we don't really care. I mean, like there's plenty more that are attacking that are attached to each vault. Each investment strategy is a vault. Each of those vaults has a lot of redundancies at the bot architecture level that are taking care of making sure these vaults are healthy and that are continuing to make all the profits. And if something were to go wrong somewhere and the vault is starting to do anything it shouldn't be doing, there's also automated system at those off-chain software level that will put the vault in emergency state, which is just a requirement if something were to happen. And of course, the alerting and monitoring system is in place so that everyone on the team would know something is going on.
Yeah, Matt's a wizard.
I can tell. I can tell.
A bit passionate.
No, I appreciate that. I love how thorough that that really answered my question. I just have another question as well. It's more so to do with the education side of things. I did hear that you mentioned bringing out an academy. So how is that? What's the roadmap to that? How will you onboard newcomers into teaching the ways of Neptune?
I think there's a lot of questions in a lot of these spaces about. There's users new and old who want to learn about how these protocol works, and a lot of people who want to know how to start up a wallet. So we will be doing our work to direct people to the correct materials, but building materials ourselves. And we do have a good marketing and community management team. So we'll be producing some resources about how to onboard into Terra and how to get into Neptune Finance, and then more importantly, getting into the nitty gritty of exactly how each strategy and how our vaults work and how our whole ecosystem operates, to give a clear overview through articles and YouTube videos and third-party resources.
That's really good point. And I think that another place we try to have a presence, it's in the developer community. Like we try to get into those office hours of TFL on Discord as much as possible. And what we're realizing on Discord for the node architect and the validator architects. And there's something that rises up is that there are problems. There are some problems in Tendermint, in Cosmos SDK, in Terra. Like it's blockchain is not perfect. And there's a lot of very, very smart people out there that are trying to make it better. And I think that communicating and sharing the knowledge and trading the secrets, like we're in conversation with Whitewell to try to like improve everyone's bot architectures. I'm often like on office hours with Octal Image, like shout out, like really appreciate all the chats, but to share questions that are a bit deeper level at the developer level. So education is great for all users, but I think developers, it would be great to get everyone together. Recently, there was a Discord public event by Flipside Crypto, and it was just a bunch of validators there and software engineers. And it was super interesting to be like really among everyone that is just at a dev level and understand that a lot of people have a lot to share. We might not have a lot of space for that, or maybe developers and software engineers or senior engineers are not taking that space as much. That's something that we must not undermine. It's really powerful.
Awesome.
Yeah, excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's Kaylee, to your question though, there are multiple layers of sort of security concerns in a project like this. One is, of course, any kind of smart contract risk that might emerge from Neptune system itself, and presumably those will be audited and, you know, double checked by folks. Usually they provide that information as time goes on. But there's also, when you connect to other people's protocols like Apollo DAO or something like that, then you could add that layer as well as potential risk vectors. If those aren't, you know, produced, you know, perfectly and audited really well. So usually with protocols like Neptune, the ideal situation is to be connected to other projects that are high quality and have had some auditing done and things like that, right?
Yeah, that's why we try and work closely with these protocols as well, is we want to create good partnerships and good lines of communications directly between all our developers. so we can understand their systems in depth. Because we don't want to, like, there's a lot of opportunities in DeFi and across Terra, and there's nothing stopping anyone from jumping into any smart contract. That's the glory of DeFi. But we want to make sure we're making smart moves and safe moves into these smart contracts. We're talking to the protocols first before we use their systems.
Yeah. Adapa, did you have a question?
Yeah, I have a few quick questions. But first, I just want to say, based on everything I've just heard now, I am extremely excited about this.
Oh,
I think what you guys are doing is really amazing. And what's I think so compelling about it is I think that it's going to answer a need for the expert, DeFi investor as well as the novice. I think it sounds like there's going to be opportunities for both classes of investors. And maybe you'll eventually have an expert mode that you'll turn on your UI. So it doesn't scare off the newbies. There's a main question. Well, first question is the audit. From what I understand, it's hard to get auditors right now because it's just everybody is using them, and I just want to make sure you're not gonna do that, like bypass that just to stay on schedule.
Definitely not. Like, that's incredibly important to us.
It is.
Security.
Yeah.
It's not something we want to risk ourselves or risk users' money.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So we were shopping around for an audit for a while, and we did a lot of interviews with different auditors just to get an understanding of how they work. And Dr. Cisco has been tackling a lot of that. But that's part of what's slowing down our progress as well. But it's worth the slowdown.
Yeah.
So we will be freezing our code shortly to get into audit.
Oh, good. Yeah, I would say take your time just to make sure we get that right. But also, I'm curious, two-part question. Why did you pick Terra, to build this out on? I think it's just an interesting thing to think about in terms of like what makes the Terra ecosystem so special. But also, like, what's the future in terms of IBC connection? I saw some chatter on Twitter the other day about having some smart contract connectivity, with Osmosis or Cosmos and stuff. Is that something that you can sort of foresee?
Yeah, it's not something we will get into too detailed because there's some secrets there.
Oh, okay.
But the inspiration...
I feel like the first part of your question, we could talk for hours about it, why we like Terra. I think all of us here have a lot to say about that.
Oh, so you're saying it's not a Ponzi scheme and you shouldn't bet against it?
No, we love Terra. I think before we were even developing, I got these guys into Luna when a friend and I who were investing around DeFi, we just saw this incredible mechanic for Luna and burning it through UST, and that's a decentralized stablecoin. It's an obvious yes for us.
But yeah, thanks for getting us into Luna right before the Black Swan event last May. It was fantastic.
But actually, the inspiration
Max
for
Payne,
Neptune
huh?
came out of the Black Swan event. I was watching Anchor go through these like recursive liquidations with B Luna liquidating itself and doing more liquidations. Like, there's opportunity there. We have to automate this and we have to do more with it. Anchor's going to be big and let's do something.
Yeah, I think it's because we went through the Black Swan that this became a thing for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was lucky for me. I didn't get into too much bar and Anchor until after that happened. So that was kind of lucky me, I suppose. But a lot of people had a lot of wreckage from that.
Yeah.
A lot of improvement to the ecosystem from that event, obviously.
On the team, we all got touched by liquidation for sure. And like the day after, and it was still happening. Like, hey, guys, man, we need to write some bots. That doesn't make sense. We need to automate this stuff.
80s well, Mike, question or adopt.
Well, one last quick thing. I just want to make sure you kind of glossed over it before. I mean, it's apropos of what you just said. The fact, like, Prism or not Prism, Nexus. Uses the Psi token for emissions for rewards. And what you said is that you're not doing that. I mean, you're going to supplement your rewards, but you're going to issue the B collateral basically as the rewards, as payment. That's huge. right? Because I kind of soured on Nexus because of that, you know, the Psi token. I didn't love that. And what you guys are saying is like you're going to give people back their initial collateral. I think that's phenomenal.
Oh yeah, we put a lot of emphasis on that. The coming,
that's huge.
Building a protocol, as we come at this as DeFi users, not as a how can we accrue the most value to our token. Like the value to the token will come if the users love our platform. That's just obvious. And
exactly,
as I was a user of DeFi, I just wanted to auto compound everything. So I was like, we have to build this into our system. This is what the people want. And putting it directly into our systems makes it as money efficient as possible. There's less swaps, there's less fees. It's money straight back to the user.
I just want to use Neptune, man. Like I'm working on it, but I wanna get back into borrowing on Anchor and sleep at night. So that's really, I'm in.
And one of my worst experiences in DeFi has been I don't pay attention to my rewards that much. And then every 2 weeks when I decide to collect them, I have, you know, 30 million transactions to make. And I really don't like that.
Awesome. Thank you guys for this work.
No problem.
Awesome.
Mike, questions?
Hey, yeah, thanks, guys. It sounds really cool what you guys are doing. I just wanted to ask about, I suppose, I know you sort of mentioned V2 and all of that. I guess I just want to see, you know, what's your vision? Like, where do you see yourself? Where do you see the DApp in sort of 1 to 2 years in terms of, like, its fit amongst Terra? Like, do you... are you anticipating that you're going to be central to the DeFi experience on Terra, or are you wanting to just be part of, you know, everyone's portfolio, or what's your goal?
I think we want both of those aspects you mentioned. We would like to be part of everyone's portfolio, but more importantly, we want to spread liquidity across Terra. I mean, I mentioned earlier that there's $10 billion of UST in Anchor right now, which is 2/3 of the liquidity for UST, which has been the main driving force for adoption. And that's fantastic. That 19.5% is Terra's best marketing tool. But $8 billion of that 10 is just sitting idle, and it could be used across the Terra ecosystem. And there isn't a fantastic way to do that yet. That's what we're hoping Neptune Finance can be. We can be the avenue in which spreads this liquidity across Terra. We want to be beneficial for the ecosystem and the protocols that we partner with. We want to be in close touch to, you know, the guys that already exist and all these newcomers, in that we can provide liquidity to them through us. So that is, you know, both a short-term and a long-term goal. There's definitely other things that we're going to be building, which is more of a long-term thing, and they're definitely secret because they're good ideas and we don't want to let them go down. So there's a good 2 year plan, but like with constant iteration, there is going to be new strategies that are always changing for Neptune.
Another thing too, I think, like in the longer term, is I'm excited to be launched and to have vaults out, not only to use them, but also to start working on some more stuff that can contribute to the blockchain, not just what Neptune Finance is for users and all the vaults can do and all these fantastic yields for users, just also, hey, how can we help out somewhere else? How can we develop some tools for others? Last week, I was working on something I'm calling a mempool healer. There's a common problem that rises in Terra nodes where some transactions can get stuck in the mempool. The mempool is where, like, in the memory of the node until it's broadcasted to all the other nodes and gets included in the block at some point. And I was asking around to other devs and other engineers, like, how do you guys deal with that? And the best answers I got was, well, we restart our node. Hold on a second. I think we can work on this. You know, that's what I was talking about earlier, about collaborating with other engineers and developers also to make the blockchain a better place. I think that long-term Neptune also wants to help out in that department, where we have a bunch of very passionate engineers, including myself, and we want to participate to make it solid and better and give that exposure it deserves, because yeah, it is a fantastic algorithm.
Is that something at like a Terra level or a Cosmos level or both that you'd kind of implement those types of like suggestions or fixes?
I think at all levels. That one I was giving as an example is at the Tendermint level. So like that's really low level in terms of what Terra is, but Terra runs on that. So it's crucial that Tendermint, the blockchain technology, like that is the foundation of Cosmos and Terra, works well and is stable and doesn't have these kind of bugs. But that's just one tiny example. Another example is something that we worked on months ago is the airdrop calculator, how we develop something that can easily track the blockchain and index it for delegation, redelegation, works in tandem with Stator Labs also to be able to track how many seconds each wallet has deposited or moved any kind of delegations throughout the blockchain. That way we can track easily for Neptune Finance Validator. P.S. There's still time to get on the airdrop, go delegate. But to be able to easily track the amount of seconds for any amounts of delegations to Neptune Finance, and to be able to do a bit more fair, in our opinion, airdrop at the end, where the amount you have delegated is a thing, but the how long you've been delegated for is great. And if you want to undelegate and go redelegate somewhere else, cool. We still appreciate what you've done. And we're still going to do an airdrop on you because we have written the software to track that kind of stuff easily. So that's another example that can bring a little bit of help to all other developers and other projects in the blockchain. It's a long speech, but basically helping out in the long term is something that we want to do.
So just to be clear, just because people might not have understood that, Neptune Finance has their own validator. You can stake with them and get Neptune airdrop reward for doing so with your Luna. Am I correct? Or did I miss anything there?
No, exactly. We've been validating since September last year, and we've been tracking every delegation through it and amount of time delegated so that when we do an airdrop, we will be rewarding delegators and stakers with the NEP token. And it's been going pretty well. Good validator, and the hardware is good.
Yeah, and to touch on that, we will be launching our platform first before we do a token launch. That was already part of the process. Too many DeFi applications across the whole ecosystem, not just Terra, are launching a token before you get to see how that platform actually operates. And you're relying on hype and a lot of speculation to kind of see where that value for that token is going to come from. So again, we approach this as DeFi users to say, let's get a platform out first, because that's what people want. That's the biggest utility. And then to a token launch after. So the token and its utility will be coming after the first few vaults that are out. So if people wanted to delegate to a validator now to start earning the airdrop, there's still a number of months that that's applicable for.
Yeah, I just wanted to add my two cents on the whole like future of the Neptune team. We're a team of really passionate engineers, and that's one of the reasons I love working every day. But like as an engineer, I'm just in love with the blockchain technology in general and what can be done with it. And it's really exciting that we get in so early into this technology. Like we're at the early days of the blockchain. It's like the internet. And
let me ask you this:
we really want to be pioneers
on that front, because you guys sound like, obviously you have a validator going. You have a pretty deep knowledge of how the blockchain does or doesn't work depending on the circumstances. And what would you say, what kind of past developer experience have you guys had, and how big is the team and such?
We're currently a team of 7, and inside that there's 4 developers. 2 of those guys have PhDs, and then another guy has about 25 years in backend development.
And I'm old and started very young. I have 20 years in IT and 10 years in software development.
Okay, so pretty extensive, like historical experience then. So you guys aren't like learning Rust this week or whatever, obviously. so that's cool. These kinds of protocols require, without question, really the more higher level technological capabilities, I would say, to get everything right. And I got pretty good vibes from you guys. I got pretty good vibes from even the Nexus Protocol team. They got some sharp people there. Got pretty good concepts of the competence of Apollo DAO's team and such. So we've spoken to a lot of people, and the Stater folks are obviously very good. So we on Terra, we've had a pretty good like situation where almost every protocol or all of the protocols have worked, number one. And number two, cross our fingers, we haven't had any mega breaches thus far, which is great. And we haven't had like a series of just straight garbage protocols emerge too. I think some of the stupidest things, we should all just like ignore them, honestly. Like Ethereum has like just, and Binance Smart Chain have loads and loads of just sheer garbage that just distracts away capital and just gets, you know. So the sooner Terra has some of the best protocols in the business, my sense is that like it'll draw people from other protocols to quality, and that's super important.
Oh yeah, that's one of the really appealing parts of Terra is we love the tech behind it, but we also love the more serious tone of the financial development in Terra. Like we haven't really seen any kind of clones of dApps in Terra been done yet, and it's still kind of early days. That stuff's probably going to come, and like you said, probably best that we ignore it. But there's some really big players right now that are building unique things. Like Prism was pretty mind-blowing in what they were doing conceptually there, and White Whale, who was automating arbitrage to the masses, these are really great concepts, and we're happy to be launching alongside these big players and being in this more serious tone of DeFi. Like there's a lot of creative things we can do, and I'm not seeing too many protocols with like little artsy cartoon characters on them, and I kind of appreciate that.
Exactly. Even Kujira is a great user experience, for example, and it works as intended. They took some ideas like putting AUST into the mix and were able to implement that, and user experience is really nice. So yeah, so far we've had a lot of useful protocols, which, you know, make for a lot of fodder as far as like Terra Space's discussion and strategizing and such. And a lot of times with all these strategy sessions that we host, you know, we start thinking of, you know, automations that we want, and we start thinking of like theoretical products that we might want to use that don't exist yet. And we try to make those wishes known to some extent or the other. But it sounds like what you guys are doing is similar to some of the things that have been on my wish list, if not exactly the same. And then some of the things that can or can't be done in a blockchain-based format, like a lot of people want certain things, but there are certain limitations to the way blockchain works. And like we talked about vaults versus individual bots and things like that. And sometimes it's not obvious to the end user, like why you can't do certain things and why you can do certain things and that kind of thing from a programming perspective. So it's fun having these sessions and kind of like hearing it from you guys exactly.
That was a lot of cutting, so I'm not 100% sure I understood everything, but I can summarize a thought, which is we don't feel too many limitations here. That's kind of like the motto inside the dev room is like, just get it going, guys. We can do anything. It's fine. It's going to take time and we do it.
Yeah. I wish I could clone myself so I could do more things.
That's humbly powerful. I like it.
I need like six more of me and we'll be fine. Did anybody else want to hop up, ask any questions about the team, tokenomics, the utility of the platform, or anything else? I think everyone got most of the gist of what's going on. We have a lot of folks in here that are in the audience that clearly have some experience playing on these protocols and such, and I've gotten sort of used to asking most of the useful questions, so hopefully we covered.
Yeah, you done well.
Thank you. Now you guys did great. I think we can break if no one else is needing any questions answered. And TerraSpace is recording, so if you need to link this to any kind of future education, certainly people can go right ahead. TerraSpaces.org does record a lot of these. Oh, here's Lucky for just a moment here. He might have some. Go ahead, guys. Lucky.
No, I love what I hear. Steffi, obviously you covered everything. You know, I think what I'd love to do maybe at some point in the future, if you guys are up for it, like a brainstorm session of things that the people are looking for. and maybe we can like share what we talk about in our spaces and you guys can take them back and see what's feasible on like a long-term roadmap.
Yeah,
that sounds like that. That sounds great.
Because you guys, I mean, clearly you guys have the brains behind it. I think a lot of us have the use cases and the experience on the screens and what we want. And I think a partnership would be amazing.
Definitely. Something we've struggled with is there are so many things we can do. And every time we build something, we're like, oh, we do this, we can make it better and faster and bigger. And it's keeping focus in DeFi is a little tricky because there's so many cool things to do, but we're getting to a point now where, you know, we're wrapping up our main systems. We want to start exploring again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our meetings are just ridiculous right now. They're just never ending. It's like, oh, God, this idea is going to be awesome. Like, okay, guys, calm down. We need to focus. We have something to deliver. And we're just nonstop. It's so young. Cisco was saying that earlier. Like, there's so much to be built right now. So any kind of partnership to help, like, brew those ideas and we get the bandwidth to produce some stuff, that sounds awesome. I like what I hear.
Yeah, and also as a filter for what the crowd wants, what people really want, because sometimes you I used to work as a game developer, and this really happened a lot where the developers think, oh, this might be a great idea, and then like you put it out there and the gamers hate it. It's useful to talk to the people and see what they really want sometimes, because sometimes engineers are like, oh, this sounds so cool. And then,
yeah, I mean, just to give you guys a background, I'm in custom software development for a retailer, a multi-billion-dollar retailer, and I face the business a lot. So I'm that middleman between. So it's kind of like the people that we talked to in spaces and then talking to the engineers would be a great kind of partnership here to get us some things that we're excited to look for.
Yeah, and some of the people that have been heavily into just gaming, especially like RPG style min-max gaming, like, you know, your Diablos and your, you know, MMOs and things of that nature, as opposed to shooting games and such, I think have an intuition for DeFi because you've sort of like played that video game all your life. And, you know, there are elements of, it's not really elements. Basically, it's all just game theory is what really DeFi ultimately is. And I think if any developers who have some background in gaming are almost always going to have a leg up in that respect, both in like user experience, kind of understanding incentive mechanisms and making it fun and all of those other elements.
We got most of that, but man, Seffy, this Twitter bug.
Most of it.
is it just the listeners can't hear, or just
so everyone down there can hear? It's everything below is fine. It's just us up here. It's just miserable.
Right.
Yeah, I spent too many hours with him, so I know like every word he says. But no, if you're not up here and hearing him enough, you won't figure it out.
Oh, man. Lucky sounds fine, so maybe he can end the discussion today.
Yeah, Lucky, join the Discord.
Yeah. Is it on your page, Matt? Is that where it's at?
Yeah. Nep.finance. Right.
Cool. Got it.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody for being here. That's awesome.
Thanks, Seffy, for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it. And just to reach out to the community one last time, you guys can come jump in our Discord and have a discussion. We're usually hanging out there most of the time. But our website is live with our airdrop calculator as well. And we're also going to be at the Terra DApp convention in June, the one that's been held in Austin. So we'd love to see some of you guys there too.
Okay, let's close up. See you guys. Thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a CeFi space chatting with Neptune Finance, recorded on Monday, March 14th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects, and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Kick it with these killer vibes, picky how my hero dies. I've had to cut away at least like a million ties. I've tried a million times, but can't seem to get it right. And the things that I've seen might shock your civilian eyes. Writing in the dead of night, fighting with my better half. Hiding all the pain behind my most bitter laugh. Living off the land, that's a dream my dinner has. Seems like a lot of work to get around a sinner tax. I may go out, I may go back, I made this route. I'll take the path, setting up my shop in this little tourist trap. I'm living simple in a world that's gotten too complex. I'm hitting 40 soon, looking for that context. Grateful every day they haven't dropped the bombs yet. Waiting for the time the devil shows up with my contract. The devil's always late and I ain't got no time to spare. If I don't find the final piece of my jail, then I don't care. You can't take it with you, there's no debating the issues. Becoming jaded, still waiting, concentrating the misuse. I like my life secluded, these cats are convoluted. Fooled into thinking the revolution will be won by humans. Like a bunch of hot dogs, got their tongues out drooling. School never taught us shit, so I'm homebrewing. Mind the rulers, the computers, one day make us lucid. Giving planet Earth the cure to this little nuisance. In life, don't slip and slide. Red Rider gets an eye. Overweight ghost riders all get an exercise. Just don't mess with mine, trying to get this paper stacked. A little bit of super glue is all this caper lacked. First we got your neighbor hacked, got in through the Wi-Fi. Made a few changes and we put the papers back. Be back later, gotta rearrange the server rack. Mitigate security behavior and then we attack. Laying out the plans are simple, we go through the front. I'm taking what I need and then let's take a lunch, y'all. I've got a hunch, these suckers, they never seen it coming. No one cares what you think, you ain't influencing nothing. I'm a student of music and other dynamic fluids. I'm moving through the gruesome routine of losing my coolness. Spending all day trying to find a tolerance. Dealing with these shitty little humans with no common sense. Terra Spaces.